Send a movie idea.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello! Oh my word! Hello and welcome to the Dream Factory, the world's greatest user-generated movie creation podcast. The rules are simple. We can discuss as many of your festive ideas as we like, but only one can be taken through to the next stage, where it'll be sprayed with frankincense, encased in gold, and then have whatever myrrh is done to it before being delivered to a special little baby. I'm Joel, a man who puts the riz in Kris Kringle, and across from me is John Harris, a man who on Saturday evening will be visited by three ghosts. Phantom de Noël Passé, Cadeau Phantom de Noël, and the Phantom de Noël Future. Hello, John.
Hello. So, was that a Google Translate job? Because,
yeah.
So the one issue there.
What have I said?
Well, you said present as in like a gift. So you said the ghost
yeah,
of gifts.
That's right. That's what I wanted
okay,
to say.
Okay, cool. Thank you. I can't wait to meet the gift ghost.
I wanted you to have a less horrifying night, and so that halfway through the night, a guy would just bring you some gifts.
Yes.
I think that would be nice. How are you doing, John? I should explain, my voice is a bit croaky because of an illness, but I'm being very, very brave. And the reason, John, I'm being so brave is that we're not alone today. We are joined for another festive special by another festive friend. It's the one, the only, presenter, comedian, podcaster, but most importantly, constant source of ideas for this show, Beck Hill. Hello.
Hey, hello. When you said festive friend, I was like, I wanted to do that thing where you join the words up like a spoonerism. So I was like, oh, like friend. But then I realized that's just what that is. Fend. Fessend.
Fessend.
Frestive.
Frestive is.
It also makes it sound like you're only our friend for a month, a year. And then we go yeah. back to being mortal enemies.
Oh, yeah. Do you know what? That's a Christmas movie in itself, isn't it?
Hello.
Mortal Christmas.
It's kind of like when they laid down their guns on Christmas Day in World War One to play football on No Man's Land. This is very much the podcast equivalent of that. For the other 11 months of the year, Joel and John versus Beck Hill. It's a war that's been going on since the dawn of time.
I have been talking to, you know, on many episodes about starting a podcast beef. And so I'd very much like to start a Problem Squared beef if you're interested.
Oh my gosh, I would love that.
Yes.
Yeah, brilliant. Absolutely.
All
now
right,
that there's
we
been
go.
A little bit of crossover.
Perfect. Let's get that sorted. I'll start writing angry stuff in the new year.
Yeah. It's probably mainly going to be you and I having beef, and then Joel and Matt Parker just sitting off to the sides having a little chat while you and I.
Problem square off.
Oh yeah, that's it. You were talking about the football thing that happened that in the war. What's it called? What's it called again?
First World War.
I don't know which bit.
I realize that, like in real life now, in modern life, what you do is you have football like all the time, and then occasionally people stop and have a war. And I don't
it's
know what
true.
One's worse.
It's very deep, very deep.
I've always wondered who brought the ball. But there we go.
I'm sure.
Yeah, who brings a ball to war? Oh, it's probably just someone's head, wasn't it? Oh no,
it was just a head. It was just a loose head.
Wow, there we go. Bex turned Dream Factory into a family game at her house. So we're going to go round one by one, and Bex's going to bring ideas her family as well as the listener ideas.
Well, Bex, tell me more about doing that. How did you pitch it to the family?
Well, I mean, it didn't take much. So I'm in Australia right now. I'm joining you live from Adelaide. And I saw my dad and my stepmom today and my brother and his girlfriend. And I was like, well, I'm going to do this podcast later, and told them about it. Then they all sat around and did that thing where you get that look on your face, you stare off into the distance and start trying to think of Christmas movies. And then they're all just throwing stuff at me. And some of it made the cut, and a lot didn't.
That's exactly how we operate as well. John and I stare off into the middle distance for hours on end. John, should we start with a movie idea from you?
Yeah, what about this one from Stu? Mingle All the Way. Arnie gets a new job just before Christmas and has to endure the Christmas party despite not really knowing anyone, and then discovers he was supposed to bring a gift for Secret Santa.
Oh, that's really good. So he has to utilize what's in the office to make a Christmas present.
What objects would make a good gift from an office?
And wouldn't look like they'd obviously come from the office as well.
Yeah, because you can't just like wrap some paper clips, can you? Like, I would use paper clips. I'd make a little wire person, you know, like a little sculpture.
Yeah, a little wire man. I would worry that maybe a little wire man, there's something in the horror film about giving someone a little man made of wire. It feels a little bit voodoo. If I'd never met someone before and they turned up to my Christmas party with a wire effigy of a small man, I'd think, I hope my desk isn't too near this person for the rest of my job. I'd maybe hit the vending machine.
Mm.
Who doesn't love 20 quid's worth of vending machine snacks?
That's true.
I'd maybe go for that.
This is, Beck's got an unfair advantage here, because for those who don't know, Beck is basically our generation, the current children's generation's Neil Buchanan with Makeaway Takeaway, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I would be straight in the bathroom. I'd be taking out all the toilet rolls. I'm like, I'm working on some sort of paper mache, you know, wall hanging ornament. Well, I like to make something that's practical. I do want an exclusive that only your listeners and some listeners of A Problem Squared will know, is that I got hired to design and make for Anthea Turner. to promote the new series of The Crown. They wanted to do her like making Buckingham Palace, but as if it was Tracy Island. But like, I don't know if you've looked at Buckingham Palace, but it is the most boring building in the whole world. Like, when you think of palace, you think Disney Palace. Buckingham Palace is literally just a rectangle. It's such a boring thing to make. So I suggested that I make it out of wine boxes and turn it into a wine dispenser that also dispenses breadsticks and hummus. And nice. they went for it. So I always like to make, I don't like things to just be ornamental. It needs to have a purpose. So that's what I would make in the office. I would probably just find some, I'd take your vending machine snacks and I'd find a way of delivering them through a, you know, paper mache dolphin.
Perfect.
You'd steal the show there. I don't think Arnie has quite got the creativity and dexterity that you do, Beck, but he can give it a good go.
The sounds he would make when he fails would be worth it.
I would hazard a guess that Arnold Schwarzenegger has never, ever handled paper mache.
He's got kids, though.
I bet he did in like Kindergarten Cop.
It's too strong.
There's got to be some outtake.
Oh, maybe there is.
Kindergarten
Cop.
That's
such a good point. Deleted scene.
There we go.
Perfect. Hey, John, how about this one? And Beck, how about this one from me? Citizen Candy Cane. Now, and that's from Joe. Confession, I've never seen Citizen Kane.
Have you seen a candy cane?
I've eaten plenty of candy cane. So on that side of things, I can offer some real expertise. But I don't really know what Citizen Kane's about. A man stands for election and the word rosebud. That's as far as I can get. That's as far as I can take you down the Citizen Kane road. John, you're a film guy.
Well, the interest.
Tell me everything about it.
It's sort of about the rise and fall of a tycoon. So he does stand for election, but he's also like a newspaper tycoon and stuff. But the sort of framing device of the whole thing.
Murdoch.
Well, except it's made a long time ago. But yeah, we could.
So I guess Citizen Candy Cane would be the downfall of Willy Wonka.
Yes. I was just.
He's a tycoon.
The framing device of Citizen Kane is the Rosebud, which is the name of his sled as a child. And so there is like a...
Spoiler
Christmassy.
Alert.
That is very Christmassy.
Shall I put a warning at the beginning? Like, if you haven't seen this 90-year-old movie, which is fair. Fair's fair. Apologies. Yeah, I like the idea of the rise and fall of Willy Wonka at Christmas, question mark.
Next year, we're all very excited for it. We've got the Wonka prequel coming. We're all on the edge of our seats to find out how he became Willy Wonka. So maybe we just need the sequel of the downfall of the Wonka dynasty. And maybe it happens at Christmas. They release a range of products that are terrible. No one buys them. It's Willy Wonka's last great experiment. He's gone mad. His food's become more and more experimental and the public stopped buying it. And he has one last hurrah with like a Christmas themed chocolate that they put all of their research and funding into, and it flops and Wonka goes insane. There you go.
I like that.
Beck, what's...
I like the idea that Willy Wonka is the inventor, like this is the origin story of the candy cane. Because when you think about it,
who was
the first person to be like, oh, let's make a minty one. Like, let's make something that...
We need some toothpaste at Christmas.
Yeah, exactly.
So do we...
Yeah, the candy cane is odd. I wouldn't... Do you ever reach for a candy cane, John, if there's one on offer?
No, and also, I don't know if you agree, Beck, but it's the amount of time it takes to consume versus the pleasure you're getting from it is off.
It's all fun. It's all great until you get, like, until the long end is as long as the short end. Does that make sense? When you end up with the letter
how
U.
How do you put it in your mouth?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, and then you sort of try and slip it in like a mouth guard, but it's the wrong shape. Just
walking around with two very festive mouth guards at Christmas. I'll be honest with you, Beck. After a few minutes, I just start crunching.
Oh, wow. You're a monster.
I've never, ever really had the patience for a lollipop or for a nice ice cream, ice pole. I'll just start crunching.
What are you like with cheese strings?
Now where would I? It's been a while since I last ate a cheese string. I'd begin to peel maybe the first third, and then I'm just chomping.
The
novelty wears off quite quickly. Well, the banana peel and the banana itself, they're different guys. They're not all one and the same. Lick a banana. I just chomp it down. Get rid of the peel and then eat. And that's kind of my approach.
Can you imagine if someone did eat bananas by licking them?
Like a candy cane. like a candy cane. That would be intense. Speaking of things that you wouldn't like, if someone was hired, if a new person joined your company and sat opposite you at work and their thing was that they ate bananas like a lollipop, I would be handing my notice in pretty soon.
I was just going to say I got a steak and cheese pie the other day. Because I'm in Australia and you got to do what the locals do. And it was so hot that I had to dismantle it on the table I was on outside. But I didn't have like knife or fork. It was just one of those like bakery ones. And once it had cooled down enough to eat, it was so dismantled that I could only eat it by scooping it into my mouth with my fingers. And while I was doing that, I looked up and made direct eye contact with an elderly man and had to like do that sort of face. That's like, I'm so sorry. And he did that sort of nod like, yeah, you're all right. And we're married now.
That's where I hoped it was going.
I have to blow your guys' minds and reveal that for some reason, cheese strings are now rebranded to Strings and Things, which makes no sense.
That sounds like something you find in a drawer.
What's the things?
I wasn't part of the marketing team who came up with the name change, but
it's legally not cheese?
That's what I was about to say. It's like one of those stories you hear about how they can't legally call it cheese.
Maybe it's that.
Because it's dipped below the percentage requirement. It's just plastic.
We actually did an episode of A Problem Squared about food labeling and like when stuff is allowed to be called chocolate and when it has to be like chocolate flavored or whatever. And now I feel like we need to do a follow-up where we talk about that. Because that was when I found out that the oat milk that I use isn't called oat milk. Even in my brain, when I imagined the carton, I was like, oh, it says oat milk. And then I ran to the kitchen. Nah, it says drink. It says oat drink.
Oat drink, yeah.
Beck, if you need two extra investigators who have no skills whatsoever, mate, more than happy.
I don't have skills either, so the more the merrier.
I wonder if there's a black. You know how when the sugar tax happened, there was a black market for pre-sugar tax soft drinks. I wonder if there's a black market for pre-Strings and Things conversion cheese strings.
Oh yeah,
Because I feel like a cheese string is an item of food that would outlive us all. You know, like there's that thing where they put a McDonald's cheeseburger in a Perspex box and it was still fine years later. I reckon you could leave a cheese string out in all four seasons for maybe 10 years and go and pick it back up and eat it again.
Is that because the cockroaches just won't touch it? They're like, nah.
They won't go.
That's not real cheese.
They've got better taste than that.
Yeah.
Beck, how about an idea from you or your extended Beck family?
How about this? The Passion of the Christmas, which my brother said is about a bunch of families getting really into their Christmas decorations. And then he added rated R.
Okay.
I don't know what it says about me though. I immediately imagined Father Christmas on a crucifix. I don't know how we feel about that.
I think that's the last bit is the family who sort of crossed the line is the family who put Santa on the crucifix outside of the house.
Yeah. Well, you know, I know in the last episode with Scroobius Pip, you were talking about the whole true meaning of Christmas thing. So I feel like this is just an extension of that where they're like, how do we combine these two things? I know. Let's crucify Santa. Let's get Easter in here. We'll do it all.
So all Christmas films ultimately are about the true meaning of Christmas, aren't they?
Well, not about Jesus. Have you watched the Hallmark
most
film?
Of them aren't. Actually, he's not called Jesus anymore. He's called Strings and Things.
They can't call him Jesus because he's not legally cheese.
He's not legally.
But they're all about, ultimately, all Christmas films boil down to having a nice time with your friends and family. And that's the true meaning of Christmas and sharing the love. And so clearly what happens in this film is they're competing with each other over Christmas decorations. They get more and more and more and more elaborate as they rival with each other in the street. And they're spending loads of money. They're spending all their money. And Santa's on a crucifix. So they're getting completely out of hand. And then on Christmas Eve, there's a power cut. And you can't even see any of these decorations.
Oh, that's good.
And they have to huddle around a fire and spend Christmas together. And they're like, and maybe even it's the Santa on a crucifix and the lights on that shorts the circuit locally. So that it's them that cause the power cut. And then they all have to get together and just have a lovely Christmas without their decorations and their lights and things.
Annoyingly, that sounds like something you probably would see.
Yeah, it sounds like an actual movie that exists, doesn't it? What's the rated R part then? We have to put that. Are they all naked?
They're all naked the whole time. Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up, Beck, because I didn't explain myself well enough. As I was telling that story, just go back and listen again, and everyone's naked. Which is ridiculous. They're huddling around a fire because they're really cold at Christmas, but they're all still naked. There we go. There's not much nudity at Christmas. Christmas isn't a very naked time. I don't know if that's because Christmas is
not
very wholesome.
Not where you live.
That's true.
It's 27 degrees today.
Is it strange to have, because obviously culturally Australia takes all of its Christmas traditions are the same as ours, but they happen in summer. Is it strange to have like the imagery of snow and, you know, chestnuts roasting on open fire and stuff while you're walking around in shorts and flip-flops and things?
Well, when I was growing up, it wasn't weird. You just kind of understand that that's what it's like for people on the other side of the world. But weirdly, this is the first Christmas I've had in Australia for like a decade, maybe even more. Because normally I fly over, if I do fly over, I come over after Christmas when the flights are cheaper, just because I'm a tight ass. And then this is the first time I've actually been here in the lead up to Christmas. And it is strange coming from London where, you know, all the Christmas stuff was out in like October and it's getting cold and it snowed like 2 days after I left. And, you know, it's just all that real Christmassy stuff. And then to just come here and be like, oh, it doesn't feel Christmassy now. It's weird. It's strange.
And are you hearing all the same Christmas songs? Are you hearing Let It Snow, Let It Snow, Let It Snow?
Oh, I heard three covers of Last Christmas while in the shops the other day, all completely different covers. None of them Wham. Like it was very, I don't know if that means I'm still in like the Whamageddon running because I heard the song, but it wasn't the Wham one.
I think because it's not Wham, I think you're safe.
Yeah. I think
yeah.
You're safe.
It's in the name, isn't it?
One of the Christmas CDs that I had as a kid, probably for like money reasons, most of the songs were the legitimate versions, but for some reason Last Christmas wasn't, and it was this awful saxophone cover of it. And now I hear the normal version, I'm like, it's not as Christmassy as the awful saxophone cover.
That's not my version. Yeah. Yeah.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile.
Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
John, have you got another movie idea for us?
What about this one from Lem? Santa's Claus, like Legally Blonde, but Santa is the main protagonist.
So he's training to be a lawyer? I guess he's got quite a lot of spare time.
Claus is in like a contract clause.
Exactly.
Yeah. Not like C-L-A-W-S. I was like, that's Santa's a nail technician.
Well. Hey, that's not bad either.
I imagined like Wolverine Santa.
Oh, right.
Well, we got a lot of Christmas ones, so we can't go through them all, which is wonderful. Thank you so much. One of them was just Claus, which was basically Santa is a big shark.
Oh, nice. That's really good.
That's really good.
Who would...
Then you got the second one where the other Santa recognizes him or whatever. Just, I can't remember.
The second Jaws.
We're going to need a bigger sleigh.
Can anyone think of a reason that who would Santa need to take to court?
Saint Nick, Kris Kringle.
What, those guys you see in supermarkets?
Father Christmas.
Father Christmas. Yeah, Santa Claus wants to establish himself as the one true face of Christmas, and he's not happy about all of these guys around the world who are stealing his thunder. And, you know, sure, some of them have existed for much longer than him, but he's not interested in that. He's become the dominant force at Christmas, and he's throwing his weight around, and he wants to sue them all for copyright.
I think he'd take all the mall Santas, because they're all getting paid.
Nice. He wants a cut. He wants a cut of that sweet, sweet dime.
Yeah, he wants a cut. Yep. He wants his commission.
Guys, I love your idea, but I've had an alternative idea that I just want to put out there. Right. So a kid who's like a real horrible, like Martin Shkreli type, like a real trust fund, incredibly rich child is obviously on the naughty list, but he takes Santa to court because he doesn't think he should be on the naughty list. Because he's the richest kid in the world, nobody wants to represent Santa Claus. Right? Because he's got the best lawyers in the world. He's got a team of 40 incredible lawyers, better than anything Santa can get. So Santa has to learn law to take him to represent himself.
Oh, nice.
Brilliant.
There we go.
That's great.
Yeah. Santa's
He represents him's elf.
Nice.
I'm sorry. How about this one from Tony? Pie Hard. An American Pie / Die Hard crossover where terrorist Hans Gruber wants the world to have apple strudel instead of pie, while Stifler plays the Bruce Willis part. Great. I don't know how much more needs to be said about that. I'm very into it. Hans Gruber's mission is to give more prominence to German desserts.
I feel like Pie Hard, that it should definitely be partially about, I've forgotten his name, but the one that gets off with Stifler's mum, with Jennifer Coolidge. It should be like...
Shermanator.
Like he's... Shermanator. No, that wasn't Shermanator. It was the other guy. It was the other guy who's like real suave.
Oh.
But like, he's like, Shermanator's the redhead guy.
Well, Beck, we'll find out all about this when me and Joel do our podcast. When me and Joel do our podcast, Pie Guys.
Okay, I just need to tell you guys that because I always put your podcast on whenever I'm on car journeys with people, because I know it's the one podcast where no one's going to be like, oh, this is... too much about murder, or this is too in-jokey or whatever. It's like, no, it is. It's just a lovely time. And I always put it on. Oh. And one of my friends and I were cracking up over Pie Guys when you came up with that. And I am on board. Please make that podcast.
Yeah, I think it's our
Please
best idea.
Please may I come along. I would 100% join in on that marathon.
Let's do it. Let's do it. Yeah. So Pie Guys is the big project for 2023. It's going to be our hit show. We watch every American Pie while eating a different pie.
Yeah, can't I'll wait. Bring a pie. Have a guest for each one that has to bring the pie for you so you don't have to do too much admin.
Here we go.
That's a good idea.
Delegation.
What, Beck, have you got another one for us, please?
Okay. What about the 12 eBays of Christmas, where someone is waiting for 12 orders from eBay before Christmas, but they keep getting, sorry, we missed you cards.
I mean,
that's good.
We're sort of living that at the minute with you know, solidarity to our strikers, but we are in a sort of, there's an anxiety period at the moment of, are things going to get delivered in time for Christmas right now? So that's real life for us.
I haven't done any Christmas shopping yet. So I'm pitching a drama. I'm going to lean heavily. I'm leaning heavily on the fact there are postal strikes as a good excuse come Christmas Day, because I haven't done my Christmas shopping yet. I like that. 12 eBays of Christmas. And maybe things arrive, you know, you order 5 gold rings, but they are the incorrect sizes. They weren't as advertised. That's quite, I think it's a nice idea. You buy the 12 days of Christmas from eBay and, you know, yes. Hilarity ensues.
Yeah, these Lords of Leaping are definitely knockoffs. They're like, they're jumping at best.
Yeah, one of them can barely hop.
Yeah, this one doesn't have a title at all. An Earl? No, thank you. This isn't what I ordered.
Beck, I feel like you're sitting on quite a few great ideas. I feel bad for your family after you canvass them. So do you want to give us a couple more from your pile? From Santa's sack?
Well, we had... one was... my brother just said Rad Santa instead of Bad Santa. Or that might have been my stepmom. But there's no other explanation. But I like Rad Santa as an idea. Maybe he wakes up in the 80s.
He's wearing sunglasses. Yeah, nice.
Yeah, like time travel Santa. Or maybe he comes from the 80s. Maybe Santa... It's like Encino Man. Like Santa got frozen in... Oh, Santa gets frozen accidentally in the North Pole in like the 90s, right?
Yeah.
They crash land. His body's lost. They uncover it in today. And then it's all about Rad Santa and his 90s realness having to come to terms with the state of the world right now.
Like, excellent. He's still, and also trying to wrap his head around the presents that kids want. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And then he's like, what's a fidget spinner? He has no idea. Absolutely none.
There's something quite 90s about a fidget spinner. Also, there's got to be like the Lapland has had to sort of create a decoy Santa in the interim, and Rad Santa has to take down this intermittent Santa.
Excellent.
Yeah. Oh, and then you bring in the legal stuff. We'll tie them all together.
Yay.
Perfect. Okay, well, John, I don't know how you're feeling. Are you feeling ready to pitch our own ideas?
I am.
You're feeling
born
good?
Ready. Shall I go first?
I do also have one of my very own as well, if there's time.
Oh, Beck.
Oh, we're building up to that, Beck. I assumed that I've been keeping that on ice, waiting to end the show with your idea. So John and I will get our very poorly thought out ideas out in the next 1 or 2 minutes, and then we'll dedicate some real time to yours. So John, what's yours?
The Lapland Before Time, Dinosaur Santa.
Oh!
That's good. Even dinosaurs deserve presents.
There we go. That's simple as that. Sort of classic Santa story, nice. Dinosaurs.
Just dinosaur with a big white beard.
Maybe he's got white and red markings. I don't know whether we go fully like beard and hat and stuff. It depends who's drawing it.
Here's mine. Groundhog sleigh. Santa has to live out the most stressful day of his life every day until every child receives a gift. Basically, the global population recently ticked over to 8 billion, and that presents a problem for Santa. He's had his magic extends so far in that he's able to deliver to every child on Christmas Eve. But with the population rising, it's now outside of his powers, and he has to relive Christmas Eve. Every Christmas Eve, he's letting down a few kids that he can't quite get to before dawn, and he has to keep reliving and reliving and reliving until he is able to deliver. And I guess the lesson is he learns that he can't do it all himself. That's the true meaning of Christmas. He has to get his powers involved.
Lovely.
I love this. I love that so much.
There we go. Groundhog sleigh. Now, Beck, what is your festive film idea?
My festive film idea is Him Malone, spelled H-Y-M-N.
There we go.
Good.
So
yes.
It's about a member of the choir accidentally gets locked in the church when the vicar goes on holiday. and then some robbers like
the vicar going up, goes on holiday at Christmas. One of the busiest times of year.
Or maybe just after Christmas.
Nice. Yeah, no,
I really like the idea of the vicar is like, riding retreat.
It's too busy. December's way too busy for me.
He's That's great. Go maybe it's
midnight, midnight mass.
Or she.
It could be midnight mass. They do midnight mass.
Yeah.
And the choir boy's left in there overnight, and he won't get to wake up with his family on Christmas Day.
Oh.
Yeah. And then robbers come along, and then they have to use all the stuff within the church to create booby traps.
Oh, church-based booby traps. Sounds perfect. Yeah.
Perfect.
I'm thinking that like so bells good. Being pulled, like bells, you know, the robbers come in, they're like the big long ropes on the bells.
It's like an incense ball on a chain thing that they have.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's like Catholic, yeah, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah, Catholic. Do you know what? Catholicism does have a lot better props.
Laxatives in the communion wafers.
The thieves have gone to the communion wafers for a little.
Yeah, I would.
Yeah, there's a bit where they like push over the font with water everywhere. It's chaos.
No.
That's a Love great it. Idea. Well done, Beck. Well done, everyone. Thank you so much for sending in your Christmas ideas. It feels wrong almost to award the first place prize to our guest, but I do think him alone is probably our best idea.
Agreed.
So, Beck, I really like Beck, Groundhog's you have the Way. Honor. It's a solid one. Also, Dinosaur Santa would sell so much merch.
Here we go.
That's very true. That's very true.
I'm thinking of the long tail.
It might have a dinosaur probably does have quite a long time. Beck, thank you so much for joining us. We have mentioned your brilliant podcast, A Problem Squared, loads. You can listen to it wherever you listen to podcasts. Wherever you're listening to this right now, you can also listen to A Problem Squared. So go and do that. Well, on that note, thank you so much, guys. It's been a pleasure.
Wait, is there anyone knocking at the door, Joel?
All you dreamers out there. Well, of course there is, Beck.
Joel doesn't remember the format of his own podcast.
At the door right now, it's a giant dinosaur Santa. And he's come to carry me off to the land before time. I know, it's very exciting.
Aww.
We have there's still dinosaurs in Forest Gate in East London. Thank you so much, Beck.
No, wait. Can we do a little Christmas chat?
Oh, Beck? No, wait. I'll run back in. Hold on. Here's my Foley work. That's the sound of my footsteps.
Amazing.
Running back in. Wow.
That really is a big cupboard. Thank you so much, Beck. That was really fun. Thank you for bearing with my voice, which at points just left my head.
It's supposed to do. If it stays inside your head, you have to see a doctor.
But it didn't. It left, but it didn't reach the microphone. It's somewhere between my mouth and the microphone are some words. Beck, is there anything that happens at your family Christmas that you would consider out of the ordinary if you were to tell other people about your traditions?
Oh,
is there a thing you eat, a game you play, a thing you
wear? We used to play lawn bowls a lot.
Well, there you that go. Is- Perfect answer.
Yeah. That's always the thing we like to do, play lawn bowls.
So this is your first, as you said in the pod, this is your first Aussie Christmas in like a decade. Is there anything sort of you're particularly looking forward to that you haven't had as a part of an English one?
I mean, mainly my family, but I I realised that my brother has a Lego train set that we used to play with, because every Christmas he'd get given more track for it. And so then we'd break it out and try and make it long enough to go from the kitchen to the bedroom, because the dream was always to like recreate that sort of image you'd see on TV shows or films where like the milk and cookies gets taken to the kid on a train. And we were like, let's do that. And look, we found out very early that a Lego train set is not strong enough to carry a whole thing of milk without tipping over all over the carpet. But we found it. Mum never gave it away or anything. It's at the top of the cupboard.
Amazing.
So we might take it and have another crack at building the train set this year.
I was really hoping you were going to say he used to get a bit of track every year, and he has done every year since. I haven't seen the train set in a decade, and it's going to be like, it's incredibly complicated. Like there's more track. There's more track in that house than there is like for your local public transport system. Like, he is dominating.
I think they stopped selling it. I think that's genuinely why my brother didn't get anymore, because I don't think they make that kit anymore. Yeah.
God damn
I'll
it.
Check eBay. I'll order it 12 times.
Order it 12 times from eBay. Perfect. Well, Beck, thanks again so
much. What about
so
you guys?
Much.
Do you do anything weird? Oh,
do I do anything weird? I don't think there's anything too strange. How about you, John? We talked about how there's very little French influence on your Christmas.
Almost none. There's like a couple weird, not weird, but like there always has to be salt and vinegar pork scratchings. That's for the last 5 or 6 years, there's always been salt and vinegar pork scratchings in the house. So yeah, that's
one. Oh, I will say a recent tradition, John, that you're involved with that I really look forward to is that John and I, in our group of friends, we all send a photo of the table laid ahead of the Christmas dinner. And I get very excited for those photos and the analysis of the photos, fork placement, choice of table mat, all of that. Ooh. I really look forward to every year. That's a good tradition.
One of our friends and the parents, he goes to his parents and they've since moved, so they don't have them anymore. But he used to have these chairs that look like torture devices and I used to love seeing them. They were just these incredibly long metal chairs. So yeah.
I'll take a photo of my chairs for you.
Yes.
Oh, please do.
Thank
Actually,
you so much.
Oh no, it's too. No, wait, it's not too late. It's not Christmas yet. If you're listening, and you want to send the Dream Factory Pod a photo of your laid table at Christmas, we would absolutely love to see it, and we will do the same.
Awesome.
Perfect, Beck. Thank you so much for doing this. Have a very merry, lovely Christmas.
Thanks for having me. It's been a joy, and I hope you both have a wonderful Christmas with minimum candy cane issues.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Goodbye. I don't know why I'm waving.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Send the guys a movie idea. Tell your friends that you like the show. Follow us on social media. Then you'll be the best listener.